It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday. Primaries and caucuses in 10 states. Candidates are trying to make sure their supporters get out and vote. One plan being kicked around to make it easier to cast a ballot is internet voting, just sitting at your computer, doing it all online. Alex Halderman, a professor at the University of Michigan, gets the appeal.
It would be something that would be more convenient for voters. You could just do it from the privacy of your own home. That has the potential to increase voter turnout, which is a very good thing. But the problem is that internet voting presents very serious security challenges that we don't know how to solve yet and might not know how to solve anytime soon.
Halderman knows about those security challenges firsthand. A couple years ago, the District of Columbia was trying out internet voting and invited hackers to try to bust into the system. So Halderman and his students took him up on it.
We started about 48 hours prior to when the system was going to go online. By the time it was ready to go online, 2 days later, we had enough information to allow us to completely alter the outcome of the election.
But people shop online all the time without having their credit cards stolen. Why should voting be any more dangerous?
Superficially, a voting transaction looks a lot like a financial transaction online. But in the back, they are fundamentally different.
David Jefferson is a computer scientist at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory.
In the financial world, transactions can almost always be reversed. Merchandise can be returned. Money can be returned. It's impossible to void a voting transaction. And so that means you have to engineer a voting system up front so that it's invulnerable to any kind of failures. Well, this is beyond our ability to do.
At a conference last week, Jefferson urged an immediate halt on internet voting, including filling out a ballot, taking a picture of it, and emailing that in.
I have to say that email voting, which is legal, at least for some voters in 33 states, is by far the worst form of voting because email is not even transmitted encrypted. It's transmitted in the clear. And so anyone can read those ballots or substitute ballots for the ones voted, and no one will ever know.
Jefferson says paper ballots can be tampered with too, but a hacker online can create a larger scale of problem. Alex Halderman says, look at it this way.
In a time when Google, Twitter, the Pentagon are facing hacking attempts every day and are not successfully defending against some of them, there's just no way that tiny municipalities running election systems across the country are going to get internet voting security right.
Plus, where I vote, they give me an I voted sticker. My laptop never gives me stickers.
A chance to see the email I sent out last week? No one replied.
You're in a meeting and someone
really
won't stop talking. They're dominating the conversation, saying dumb stuff, sucking the life out of the room. Wouldn't it be great to have a machine to shut them up? I have such great news. Researchers in Japan have invented one. They call it a speech jammer, and its sole purpose is to make people stop talking. It's actually really simple. It records the voice of the person talking, and then it plays it back to them with a 0.2-second delay. When they hear that, it's jarring enough that they shut up. Here, I'll demonstrate. But a warning, this will be unbearable, so bear with me.
I am demonstrating how the speech jammer works,
but please don't turn off your radio. The bad news, it's not commercially available yet. Until it is, you're stuck with...
Maybe we should have a retreat somewhere. Go over long-range goals, go over short-range goals.
But you can always imagine having a speech jammer. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.